Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
From the 28th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we read these words as Jesus is departing from the earth. And he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I want to share a word of encouragement with you this morning, and it comes from that final statement of Jesus to those who had gathered, not just to the 11 disciples, not the remaining 11 disciples, but to a fairly large group of people that was gathered together, and through Scripture, a promise that's also then made to all of us, "I will be with you to the end of the age." That means until Jesus Christ returns again. Throughout this dispensation, God will be with you. That is the promise of Jesus to each one of us, that God will be with us. Jesus, of course, is the one that delivered those words to us, but God had spoken to his people down through the ages, down through the Old Testament history. And always this message gets repeated. It doesn't matter much what's going on in your life. You need to remember this: I will be with you. And so I take you back to the story of Moses. When we read this story of Moses, and I guess I'll read from Exodus chapter 3 and maybe verses through 10-12. God has called Moses. God's children have been captive in Egypt, and that's gone on for generations, slavery for several hundred years. And God picks Moses, and God calls Moses to be his instrument to go to Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, and to ask if our people can leave. Yeah, that's not going to go very far. But God picks Moses to lead his people out of this land of Egypt. And you will remember some of the story. Moses says, "You got to be kidding. I don't have the ability to do that. I don't have the verbal skills to do that. This doesn't sound like it's going to work very well to me," Moses says. And so then we read down here in about verse 12. Start in 11. "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?' And God said," what does God say? "I will be with you. And this is the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you'll worship God on this mountain." It doesn't make a lot of difference, does it, how difficult the task God gives you? "I will be with you." Doesn't make much difference if, from a human perspective, what you're being called to do makes any sense. What you need to know is the Word of God coming to you that says, "I will be with you." Doesn't really matter much, does it, whether you're capable of doing this task to which you're called? That's not exactly a concept that makes a lot of sense to us, does it? We need somebody to do a task. Who do? We call the person that's qualified to do it. We call the person who has the gift to do it. We call the person that has had some experience in doing it. But here's God who operates on a very different level. Here's God who says, I'll call you. Don't worry about it because I will be with you. The implication is, isn't it, that as long as I am with you, that's all that matters. As long as I am with you, you can do whatever it is that you're called to do. And so we have Moses understanding that there's no task too difficult because God is with you. I'll not read scripture, but if we go to the end of Moses' life and we discover that Joshua comes on the scene, Moses has spent 40 years leading this group of people through some lack of understanding about how God operates. These people ended up spending 40 years trying to get to where they were going to go. That shouldn't have taken very long to get there. But Moses spends 40 years with them. He's their ruler. A whole generation of people who left Egypt have passed away. For most people that are in that body of people, they don't remember any other leader than Moses. Moses is the only leader that they have had. Moses got a lot of clout. But God has decreed that Moses is not going to be the person that leads them across the Jordan River and into this promised land. God has chosen Joshua to do that task. And so think about this. Joshua is young. Well, to some of us, everybody, almost everybody is young. But at least let's say that Joshua is a part of the next generation. Here's the old leadership that is in place, and that's Moses, and he's been there, and he's done a good job. And now a much younger person comes along with leadership responsibility, authority given by God, if you please, to lead the people. And Joshua's a tad insecure. But what does God say to Joshua? Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And so down through history, that is the message that comes. And it comes, doesn't it? To every one of us. Just as God was with Moses, just as God was with Joshua, just as God has been with the leaders that we have known, so also I will be with you. Whatever faces us. Task may seem difficult, but you're not alone because God is with you. The decisions that you face, the choices you have to make, may seem very, very difficult, but God is with you. At some points, life can seem to be a little scary to us, but God will be with us. And so, this promise is to all of us. Second thing I want to say this morning is that God being with us, God's presence with us, is a protective presence. And so let's go back to these people leaving Egypt, And the story goes something like this, and I'm not going to spend a great deal of time with it, but finally, after a whole series of events and mis-events and starts and being thwarted in where they were going, finally the whole people of Israel are on their way out of Egypt, and they come down to this kind of a little triangle of land that isn't very big, and in spite of the word of Pharaoh, you know, it is so tempting to say that sometimes people that have a lot of power aren't always real truthful. But that's not what this message is about, and so I would never interrupt it by saying something like that. So Pharaoh, who has said, okay, you can go, you can leave the country, decides, what was I thinking? A 500,000 slaves? I don't think I'm going to give that up. And so here the people of Israel are down kind of against the Red Sea, and that's actually kind of a little peninsula, a little triangle of land, and they're trapped there. Where are they going? And so Scripture tells us that here comes Pharaoh's army, and it mentions 600 chariots. 600 chariots and probably thousands of soldiers. And we Israelite people have no weapons, nowhere to go. We are trapped. What does Moses say? Don't worry. Moses says, God is with us. And so God will make a way. God will protect us. And then something happens that can't happen. Well, can't happen unless God takes action on our behalf. And the waters part. And the people leave, and Pharaoh's army, his 600 chariots, get swamped by the water coming back and washing over them. And what does Scripture tell us? Not one of the Egyptians survived. I share that simply to remind you that God is with you, and one of the things that has to mean to you is that God will protect you. That's about as dramatic of protection as I can pretty much conceive. I've not experienced that kind of protection. Nothing quite that dramatic has ever been a part of my life. But think about your own life and think about the times that God has protected you. Think about the times that maybe not even until after the fact you realized that God was there. God watched over you. God protected you. God shielded you from what might have come against you. That's why we pray, isn't it? Isn't that one of the things that we pray for? For the protective shield of God. Isn't that something we pray for when we see our sons and our grandsons and our daughters and our granddaughters enlist in the military? Don't we pray for their protection? Don't we recognize that ultimately God has the power to protect His people? And don't we claim that? And don't we realize that sometimes, day to day, maybe in the routine parts of life, that God is there watching over, protecting, shielding us from a lot of things that might befall us. And so for the Israelites, they were in serious, serious trouble. And God came, and God protected them. You may have been in more serious danger than you ever realized. And God came and protected you. You may have come this close to tragedy, but God protected you. You may have come this close to disaster, but God was there and He protected you. There's a story in the New Testament about Paul, and I'm not going to take the time to read that from Acts 23. You can if you'd like. Paul's in trouble. They want to kill him. They want to stone him to death. Paul is a Roman citizen, and so someone that in many respects would have looked like an enemy of Paul in other circumstances, in other situations, somebody that would have been considered them, not us, somebody that gives us more trouble than we think we should have, protects Paul. This is a Roman citizen. We're not going to allow you to take his life. God protected Paul using somebody that generally would have been looked at or considered the enemy. That is certainly not one of God's people, not one of those people that we rub shoulders with on a regular basis as one of the people we know we can depend upon, not somebody that we know we can pick up the phone and call and say, hey, man, pray for me about this. God protects us sometimes using circumstances and people that we would least expect to be used by God. But here's the deal. God is with you. And in His wisdom and by His grace and by His unlimited power, He protects you. He protects you from the evil one, from Satan himself. God is with us. He protects us from whatever dangers come our way, from travails to temptations. He comes and protects us. From accidents to altercations, He comes and He protects us. From our lack of self-control to our lack of good sense, He comes and protects us. God protects us. We can depend upon it. And then third, I want to say this. God keeps His promises. He will be with us. He protects us. He keeps His promises to us. This is a book of promise. There's a multitude of promises in here. And God keeps every promise. Sometimes that doesn't happen in quite as timely a manner as we wish. But God has always kept His promise. God promised His people back from Genesis, if you please. God promised His people that He would send a Savior, a Messiah. He didn't always say His Son, but there would come this one that's going to be the Savior, the Redeemer, the Messiah. And so through all of Old Testament history, repeatedly we find this promise completed, this promise repeated, that God is going to send the Messiah. And He did. Maybe not as timely as some of them would have wished, but He did. The Word tells us that Jesus Christ is coming again. He will. maybe not on our time schedule, maybe not according to our thoughts and our arrogant belief in our own wisdom. I didn't say that. Maybe not to quite the same level of understanding that we think we have, but it's a promise of God, and He will keep that promise. And so I don't know what all the promises of the Word are from the Bible are that are especially important to you. But I'll tell you this. He's going to keep that promise. He's going to be with us. He's going to protect us. He is going to fulfill every promise. Scripture tells us, doesn't it, that God is not slack concerning His promises, as some are. All that means is there are some folk that, they'll make a promise. Maybe they'll keep it. Maybe they won't. But God is not slack concerning His promises. He will keep His promises. And so there is that promise of His presence, and He keeps that promise. God promises healing. And so we pray for healing. And we pray in faith, believing, because God is not slack concerning His promises. He has promised healing. He delivers healing. God promises His protection. He is not slack concerning that promise. He protects. The Bible promises strength for the tasks that we face, and He's not slack concerning that promise. And so that strength comes, and we can deal with whatever task God gives us. There's a promise of wisdom for life, and God keeps that promise, and He guides us, and He directs us, and He gives us the wisdom that we need to make the right choices. This book is a book of promises, and God keeps His promises, because He is dependable. He is all-powerful. There is nothing that God cannot do. I don't have any way of knowing what is going on in all of your lives. I don't know what crises you may be facing. I don't know what family crises you're in the midst of or a part of. I don't know what kind of financial crises some of you may be dealing with. I don't know about loss of jobs. I don't know about new jobs. I don't know what kind of decisions you're making about your future. Certainly there are health issues. There is the loss of loved ones. I'm sometimes sobered by the number of funerals that our pastor has to perform, because families are losing loved ones, aren't they? I went to a funeral yesterday of a cousin of mine. And so there are changes in lives and the loss of loved ones. There are betrayals, there are disappointments in life. Life changes. But this is the message through all of the changes of life. God is with you. And God will protect you. And God keeps every promise to you. I close by reminding you again that the promise is He's coming again. He'll keep that promise. The admonition from God is simple. Get ready, stay ready, be ready. Because you can count on God being with you and keeping His promises to you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.